Anyway, right, so I will now introduce Sophie and Vix talking to us about microphone technique for hackers and conferences.
Thank you very much. I'll start on the headset. There are a couple of things that inexperienced speakers usually get wrong about microphones. So we'll try to clear all of this up and give you some hints on what to do and what not to do. Who we are, I am Sophie, this is Bix. We are part of C3VOC, the Chaos Communication, Chaos Computer Club Video Operation Center is the long name. We are doing conference recordings at almost all of the events around the Chaos Computer Club in Germany and the wider Europe area. We've been doing this for quite a lot of years now. All that we've done is on media.ccc.de. I guess you've already heard about it. Our agenda. Let's first do some basics about microphones. Then tips and tricks about handheld, and after that, tips and tricks about headsets. Microphone. If you ever were in school and ever had any physics lesson, you've probably seen a picture like this. Red and green on there, that's a magnet. In front of the magnet is a membrane, a thin piece of material that's really floppy. And connected to that membrane is a spool of thin copper wire. Sound waves move this membrane, and with that, the coil of wire. When moving a coil of wire through around a magnetic field, this produces a voltage. That's the basic physical principles of a microphone. This voltage signal later gets amplified and onto the loudspeakers and recording. The microphone I just showed you was an omnidirectional microphone. It collects sound waves from all over the place, from all around it, like a ball of sensitivity around the microphone. That's usually not what you want on a stage. Why? Later. On stages, you usually use cardioid microphones. They're a little bit more sensitive in one direction, less sensitive from the other, and not sensitive from the back, like this lobal pattern over there. This fits perfectly on what's happening on a stage like this. We have some loudspeakers that are blasting the audience. We have a monitor box on stage. That's giving me some feedback on what my voice sounds like on the audio system. And we have a person speaking somewhere. Now, the pickup pattern of the microphone is shaped in a way that it rejects what's coming back in echoey from the actual event location. It rejects what's coming from the speakers, and it partially rejects what's coming from the monitor speakers. It's perfect for using it on stage. This principle was kind of first introduced by the legendary Shure SM58, the other way around. That's the basic vocal microphone that almost every rock band and other bands out there use for singing. Cutting one of them open looks kind of like this. The gray big box is the magnet. In front of that sits in cyan the membrane. The spool of wire is somewhere in there. And there's something really important in there as well. This is here, this Z-shaped gray thing is a piece of metal mesh that lets air behind the microphone itself. This means the membrane can be moved from the front and from the back. But if air goes right across the membrane, which is possible because there's this metal mesh around it, and that's also allowing air from behind, then the microphone doesn't move. This is what's giving us the carotid pickup pattern. This comes in important later when I show you something about positioning and using it. Handheld tips and tricks. Now I want to move to the handheld microphone and tell you something about the correct positioning of a microphone. Right now I'm using it the way it should be used. It's close to my mouth, less than 10 centimeters. I'm talking directly into the microphone. If I move it a little bit further away at the audio desk, it has to be turned up. The amplification gets higher and higher. The lower frequencies don't get picked up anymore that much. And if I move even further away, our audio person has to even further increase the gain. And I think you can already start here at sizzling, and we're shortly before feedback. This is really bad down here. I am moving back. Please go down with the gain again. Yes, thank you. About a bad example. I'll stay on the handheld. It's better for demonstration purposes. A bad example from National News. This is a reporter on camera speaking somewhere. They're probably in a pretty quiet place, and they're holding the microphone somewhere down here to perfectly show off their logo. This is a bad example. They're using a different microphone technique, condenser microphones that are even more, which have even tighter pickup pattern than what's used on stage usually. That's not a good way to do it on stage. Even worse, hey, we don't need any microphones. They don't have them on TV, might someone think. Yes, they have microphones on TV. Here in this example, it's a lavalier hidden in their clothing and another microphone hidden somewhere in their desk. This is not suitable for using on stage. This is only usable in a very, very quiet studio. A very good example, here she is holding the microphone pretty sturdily, talking directly into the microphone, just like I'm doing it, and probably projecting pretty loudly. So, about the don'ts.
Don't use the microphone as a pointing stick.
Don't use the microphone as a pointing stick. It's not a shaver, so below your chin doesn't work anymore, doesn't even work. Don't cover the microphone. It sounds shitty, and it negates the great pickup pattern that we just learned about. And yes, we are no ventriloquists. Bauchredner auf Deutsch. So the microphone down here doesn't work either. The microphone in front of stomach doesn't work either. Back to the do's. Hold the microphone less than a hand width away from the mouth. Talk directly into the axis of the microphone, not to the side of it, not like here to the side of it. That's what I told earlier with the pickup pattern and both ways of the microphone and not picking up anything. Don't talk into the side of the microphone. And talk loud and clear for maybe the first 2 to 3 rows to be able to understand you even without a microphone. The microphone needs a strong signal to pick up itself. Okay, let's head over to the headsets. I'll switch to my headset again. Okay, let's head over to headsets. Headsets are head-worn microphones. There's an example of a sturdy one here on screen right now, and an example of a really flimsy headset. I have one of them in here as well. We'll demonstrate the use of these a little bit later. Another part of a headset microphone is the body pack. It's where all of the electronics are housed, where the transmitter sits, where batteries sit for powering the transmitter. Something important about headset microphones. Just handing someone a handheld microphone can be done contactless. Just give it to them and they can grab it if they want it. With headsets, you usually need help from someone to put them on, or an audio technician is going to help you. There are cultures where men touching women is a really, really big no-go. Touching someone without asking for consent first is also a big no-no. Keep that in mind when you're the audio technician at a conference or anywhere else and attend microphones to people. Maybe ask a colleague of different gender if you're uncomfortable or if the speaker themselves are uncomfortable. There's always a handheld backup if someone absolutely doesn't want a headset, but the headset usually gives the better result because it doesn't move and it just stays. Usually it just stays where it is and where it should be and just picks up perfectly. But about staying and picking up perfectly, the correct position of a headset microphone is usually around the corner of the mouth, somewhere where it sits here on me right now. It's not scratching the beard, and it sits comfortably without moving around when someone's moving their head. There are certain types of microphones that don't have adjustment and that are really hard to fit on very petite people or larger people with a meaty neck. About the belt pack, it's usually in somewhere on the back in a pocket or on the belt, not on the front. Having it at the front looks kind of shitty. And now I removed it from my belt and have to put it on again. The cable should also be routed on the back, not an unsightly cable dangling around the front. If someone is wearing a shirt and jacket, you can have them remove the jacket, put on the microphone, and then have them put the jacket over the cable and it's hidden instantly. Some bad examples first. Here, the microphone is too far away from the mouth. It's probably not able to pick up a strong signal that way. And the audio tech at the mixing desk has trouble getting enough gain before feedback. Here, a belt pack in view at the front with the beige cable dangling around doesn't look that right. Cable in front. Just told about that. And another problem is if the headset isn't adjusted correctly, then speakers tend to fiddle around with it, or it might move somewhere where it's not picking up a useful signal anymore. And touching this microphone usually produces very bad noises, especially for people listening at home with headphones. 10 minutes? Okay. I'll get it in 10 minutes. So, for technicians who are helping presenters get their microphone, don't force a person to wear it. Don't just thrust it in their face, here you go. Ask for permission to touch them, tell them what you're going to do, be respectful, and guide them through the process of putting on a headset. We'll demonstrate it later. Try to nail the position on the first try and don't keep fiddling around in their face forever. But also don't be afraid to maybe adjust it once or twice to get it where it should be. For speakers wearing headsets, don't fiddle with it while you're live. Don't grab it and try to mute it that way. It sounds shitty. Sorry for the strong voice. Don't wear clinky jewelry or earrings. like having something dangling against the microphone. I'm not sure if you can hear it in the loudspeakers here, but the people at home probably get mad at me for tapping my microphone right now. Yes. And don't use the cable to pull the belt pack off your belt once you're done. Go back to the technician that put it on you and have them remove the microphone. It can usually be unhooked from the belt pack and then the cable itself removed without having the weight ripping off the cable. And also, with a headset microphone, talk loud enough for the first three rows to understand you. The microphone needs some kind of signal to pick up. Okay, on to the demonstration. Let's use the really flimsy, really hard one to put on so that I can show all of the things and tricks and what to do and what not to do. Bix has already removed the other one. So let's simulate we are in the break between two talks. It's about 10 minutes left till the speaker is supposed to go on stage and start with their talk. Bix is the next speaker, and I am the technician. Hey, hello, Bix. You're the next person speaking on stage. Yes. Okay, I have a microphone for you. This is a microphone, this is a bell pack. The bell pack is a transmitter. It's already turned on and it stays turned on. May I attend the microphone to you? I need to touch you for that. Okay, we'll start with the transmitter. It will go on your back on the belt somewhere. Yes, there's a shiny belt in here. Let's just attach it like that. Comfortable?
Yes.
Okay. Then let's turn around that I can show what I'm actually doing around your ear with sort of the microphone. I'll start with the left ear. There's a thing going above your ear and below the earlobe. And now on to the right ear, the same thing, something above, something below. I have a small clip that holds the cable. It goes on the back of your shirt, somewhere around here. And let's move the cable. Okay, the microphone is quite a bit too far in the back. I have to move it to the front and adjust some cable length. Here we are. Let's fish it out of the beard. Not yet. Let's not kink it too badly. But now we're almost out of the beard. It should be working a little bit more to the front. And here we go. Audio technician?
Can you hear me?
The headset number two?
Hello? Yes. Yeah.
Okay, here we are.
Fine. Yeah.
This microphone that I just put on Bix is a little bit too short for him, and it's sitting up too high. This one has an adjustment in the back, which can be tightened to help it stay up and not droop down or tilt up more. Now it's even better positioned.
Yeah.
So. I think we're in the last 5 minutes of our talk. Let's open it up for questions. We have a handheld microphone and Harold that's eager to walk the microphone to whoever has any questions.
Does anyone have any questions? Oh, we have one here.
Hi. Nice talk, by the way. A question, lapel microphones. Can you give me some tips about them?
Tips about lapel microphones?
Yeah.
Don't use them on loud stages.
That's the
first tip. Put them somewhere where the clothing doesn't move too much, because fabric rubbing across the lapel microphone will produce strange noises. Lapel microphones are usually only used in quieter surroundings, in studios for catching interviews with just two or three people around. The same thing as with headsets and handhelds. The closer, the better. Find a good way to hide it. But down here at the Kehlkopf, I don't know the English version. There's a lot of bass coming out of here and not much highs. A little bit further down gets usually a bit better mix. I'm not that well versed in using lapels and lavaliers. We're all usually on stage with this and with handhelds.
Okay, thanks. Cool. Well, I've got a couple of quick questions. First one is possibly not too serious question. Bix, with the microphone you've got there,
yeah.
Are you not tempted when you put that on to burst into a rendition of a Madonna song?
No.
No? Oh,
no,
I must be from
I'm
a certain
not a singer.
Age. Okay. And the more serious question is, do you think that schools should actually teach all kids basic microphone technique for their choirs and everything else? They don't seem to do that at the moment, do they?
I never heard anything about a microphone in school, except in the physics lesson where we were doing something about magnetics and electronics. Hmm. It would be great. At least the usual handheld stuff, maybe somewhere in the music lessons. But at least when I was at school, the school itself kind of didn't have any PA system, microphones, mixing desk, whatever. Maybe it has changed in the last 10 to 15 years, I don't know, but it would be great, yes.
Okay, one more question. This is the last question.
Yeah, just one question, because I experienced a lot with this mic, having it real close, it seems to work well with other mics in these conference mics on a table or sometimes. I often hear that when people are talking directly into them, this popping sound. Is that a question of which microphone? So is there a different technique to use for those? Because then I usually try to talk not directly at the mic, but slightly ahead, but then it goes down. And
okay, the question was about popping sounds in certain kinds of conference microphones. Popping sounds are usually produced when there's a lot of air movement with P's and some stuff like that. Those can be mitigated by proper positioning, by not being too close to the microphone. A little bit farther away within these 10 centimeters helps. But if there's really pronounced rumbling and popping, it's usually also a question about not having the correct filters on the mixing desk. These microphones that we're wearing are probably high passed around 100 to 150 hertz. And those rumbling and popping sounds are lower frequencies. And we also don't have a big subwoofers here below stage that would produce those frequencies. So loud popping, sum it up, might be a problem of positioning, but is usually a problem of the audio tech not filtering around, filtering out the annoying frequencies.
Well, thank you very much, Sophie and Bix, for a very informative, interesting talk. So thank you.